You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, all coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Really busy hour for you coming up at 11:20. Brittany Merlot will be here with a little weather and wine. She is Civic Media's meteorologist. We're going to talk about that. They just got creamed up north with snow yesterday, and now we've got this big warm-up coming, so Brittany Merlot will be joining us. After the 11:30 news, Paul Noonan will be here from the Acme Packing Company to talk all things sports, and we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the This Too Shall Pass Eventually edition. Stick around for that. Right now, though, I'm really excited to have our next guest join us. This has been in the works for a while. Dr. Calico Schmidt is our guest. She's a veterinarian with UW-Madison's veterinary medicine. Good morning, Dr. Schmidt. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Well, thank you. I'm doing well, Jane. It's good to be here with you, Greg and Kelvin, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We have to start off with probably a question that you hear all the time. You had to be a veterinarian, didn't you, because your name is Calico?
I think you're right. It's funny because my dad actually is not a cat lover, so I was not named originally after calico cats, but my dad is an interior decorator, and my mom went to school in textiles, so I'm actually named after the calico fabric, but it works great for me.
I didn't even know there was a calico fabric. Now I'm going to have to
there
look it
is.
Up.
Yes, common for quilting, so quilters out there will know about calico fabric.
Oh, that's fantastic. Wow. One of the reasons why I had wanted to talk to you, Dr. Schmidt, and my family, we always had dogs growing up, and I've had two dogs, and my sisters had dogs, and we're a big family of dog lovers. And I saw this article a few months ago, cats and dogs get dementia. Yes. And I don't know if this is something, maybe I'm the only one on the planet who didn't realize this. But
same.
No.
I was like, they what? So is this a very common problem for dogs and cats developing dementia?
You know, that's an excellent question. And I think it's something that we're just beginning to recognize more and more. I read an article in which surveys of dog and cat owners asked them about whether they were seeing some changes in their aging dogs and cats that we have now identified as being a part of dementia. And the numbers came back very interestingly, ranging from 25 all the way up to almost 75% of pet owners recognize some of these cognitive changes in their pets as they get older.
My sister, for example, her little Nina, I think, was about 15 or 16. And in those last couple of years, Suzanne was always worried because she said, Nina will pace around in circles and circles and circles, and then she'll stop and she just stares at the wall. Would that have been a sign of Alzheimer's?
Absolutely. So veterinarians developed this acronym when we first started noticing some of these changes in dogs, and they started out with just four letters, D-I-S-H. And of course, we've expanded that by now, but the first letter, the D, stands for disorientation. So that sounds exactly like what your sister Nina's dog was noticing. Sometimes dogs will appear kind of confused. We'll see them sometimes walk into a corner or behind a chair and just act like they're stuck, like they don't know how to get out of that corner.
Right.
It's really sad, actually. Some dogs will be really used to going out the door of the home and know what side of the door to go out. And as they get older, they get confused and forget which side of the door to go to. So all of those are changes that might suggest some cognitive decline.
Is there anything that can be done for this condition? Because we don't really have anything that's a silver bullet for this this condition in adults or in humans yet.
Yeah, that's an excellent question too. And I think this is one place where human medicine and animal medicine are showing some similarities. So for example, there are some supplements that we found can be helpful in slowing the progression of decline in these cognitive changes. So things like omega-3 fatty acids and antioxidants have been found to help. Unfortunately, we don't really have any cures, but there are some things we can definitely do to help. And even some of the things that you hear now for senior adults as they experience some problems, like getting out and getting some exercise and mental and social stimulation. So even something as simple as playing with your dog or cat a little bit more, or maybe offering some of those little food puzzle toys where they have to figure out how to get a treat out. Those are all things that can help with some mental stimulation.
So we need to find like crossword puzzles for dogs.
Yep.
Essentially.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. But and you can, like you said, that's a great thing, that with the hide the treat thing, and there's so many options now that didn't used to be even exist.
Yeah. I mean, like that's
indeed.
It's almost like children now too. Like when I was a little kid, the educational toys were terrible. They weren't fun. They weren't interesting. But now even dog educational toys, just like children's, they're engaging, yeah. They're fun, they're bright colors. And I mean, we have some of those toys from our dog who's not even two
awesome.
Yet. And she just gets into it. And the question I have for you, doctor, is because, you know, my dog is not even 2 years old. She's in, you know, knock on wood,
she's
has
a youngster.
She's a baby.
What signs can you look for in younger dogs, or does this start to show up at 4 or 5, or is ever? And the reason why I ask is because I think of people who are diagnosed with early onset dementia. Mm. If it can happen to humans, can that also happen to pets? And are there things we can look for in pets at the age of like 4 or 5?
That's an awesome question. And I don't think we are savvy enough to have recognized early onset dementia or Alzheimer's in our pets yet. Typically, these signs will begin to show up as they age and become maybe what we'd call senior. So mm-hmm. for dogs, people might start noticing these signs maybe between 7 and 10 years of age. For cats, 10 or older.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, Dr.
You've got a while, Craig.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, good. She's still a punk. She's still a juvenile delinquent.
She is.
She's two.
You called my dog a punk.
Well, but she is. Dr. Calico Schmidt is our guest. She's a veterinarian with UW-Madison's veterinary medicine. The other thing in the time that we have left, Dr. Schmidt, that I wanted to talk with you about, influencers are a real big thing. So many people now get all of their news and most of their information from people that they follow on YouTube or have a YouTube channel. I'm really concerned about bad advice being given out by influencers, especially on things that you should feed your pets.
Oh, that is definitely a topic that is, we're seeing a lot of controversy. And I agree that some sources may not have a lot of scientific evidence and backing. There are, however, some people who know what they're talking about. So I think one of the first things we can do is just look at the source and ask, where did that person or website get their information? Is there research that backs up what these folks are saying? And if in doubt, your veterinarian is always a really good resource too, and they can help you look into some of those questions.
Yeah, if her name is Becky and her main job is reviewing yoga pants, I would maybe not get veterinary advice from her, unless, but that's just me.
Unless Becky's like, my name is Becky whatever, I went to this medical school and I have...
Exactly.
There you
right,
go.
Right,
there you
right.
go.
We love all Beckys.
Yeah, this is not a Becky slap. Yeah, it's not a Becky slap.
Yes, we do. Yeah, yep. You have excellent scientific literacy skills. Yeah, just know your source,
yeah.
And that goes far.
The other thing I've been wondering about, Dr. Schmidt, is bird flu is a big concern now around the country, and certainly here in the U.S., and there had been some early reports about bird flu transferring to domestic pets. Are you seeing a lot of that?
You know, that's an excellent question as well. And I think something that's a concern on everybody's mind. And we have had some instances. I don't know if we've had any patients here at the veterinary school, but I know across the United States, we've definitely had some cases of bird flu in cats that can range from being very mild to very severe. There have even been some deaths reported. So it's a significant concern and something we're all watchful and aware of.
And the main thing would be to keep your cats away from birds.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can, keep them indoors, keep them in a safe place. It's a little harder for dogs, but I don't know of any evidence in dogs yet.
I would really like to hammer that, and this is going to make me very unpopular. Keep your cats in the house, please. They kill so many songbirds. They kill so many songbirds. And it shortens their lifespan, right?
Yeah, it can. And, oh, you just hate to see cats hit by cars. Yeah. Keep them inside.
They get in fights. There's, you know, there's coyotes and all other kinds of things.
Yeah.
And
birds of prey.
I had some friends at one point are like, well, it's their natural instinct to be outside. Put them in front of a window.
There you go. There you go.
It wasn't naturally for you to fix them either, and you fixed them. So,
Yeah, there you go. I know people who will take their cats out on a leash or harness, so there are safe ways to do that.
That's great.
Or build them a little catio, like a little screened-in porch.
Catio.
Those are safe ways to do it. Isn't that awesome?
Have you not seen catios?
I've never heard the term.
Oh, yeah, they have catios. They're great.
I love it.
Kurt from Madison is on the line. Real quickly, Kurt, we got about 2.5 minutes left. Thanks for joining us. What's your question for Dr. Schmidt?
I have a 9-year-old female Bernedoodle where I need her to lose at least 10 pounds, and she was on a metabolic dog food that proved to do absolutely nothing. I've been trying to research the hell out of this about what is the best food, because I'm calorie counting under somewhere between 700 and 800 per day, and she's not losing weight. Can you put any clarity on dog foods?
That's an excellent question, Greg. Thank you for asking, because obesity and overweight are such big problems for many of our pets. And you're doing all the right things. You're doing a great job of watching and counting calories. We always start with, hopefully your vet has helped you calculate good calorie amounts and cut back gradually. Oftentimes we'll use that as a starting point. Some dogs just have such good metabolisms that they are very good with their calories, and we may need to cut back even further. So if you're having trouble, chat with your vet a little bit, and they may have you gradually cut back on calories further. If the current diet isn't working, there are some special prescription diets that are even lower in calories. And then, of course, just like they say for us as people, get out and do some more exercise to help burn some calories, and that can help too.
Kurt,
you're doing all the right things.
Kurt, just expect her to look at you like, when are you going to feed me?
A salad.
When are you going to feed me? Dr. Calico Schmidt has been our guest from UW-Madison. Thank you so much, Dr. Schmidt.
You,
we'll get you back on.
You're
Have a
welcome.
Wonderful day. Stay close. Brittany Merlot, Weather and Wine coming up next. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air. Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She joins us every Thursday at this time for a little weather and wine. Brittany Merlot is here, Civic Media meteorologist. You know what, Brittany? You should have been a sommelier. You should have worked in wine with a last name like Merlot, but instead you're a meteorologist.
Yes, I am. And I love every minute of it.
I know you do. You're so into weather. And I know I was listening this morning on the way in when you were on Pat Kreitlow on Up North News Radio. And Snow Queen, you went a little overboard for some of those areas up north. I understand you should have calmed down a little bit.
Oh, but those areas love it, and they know it. So yeah, we did. We saw over a foot of snow in Baldwin. That's in St. Croix County, Hurley, Ashland, all of those places picking up double digits. I mean, it's a winter wonderland once again on the south shore of Lake Superior. obviously Lake Effect Snow had a big role to play with this system because those winds were everything.
Yeah.
I mean, they were whipping here in Wausau. I think we had the state record at 54 miles per hour yesterday.
Whoa. Dang.
Yeah. You know, we didn't even get that much snow here, probably anywhere from 3 to 5 inches or so. But with those winds, you could not see a thing. It was whiteout conditions.
That must have been terrible. I bet there were accidents all over the place.
There were. Unfortunately.
Well, I did look at the extended forecast, and at least in southeastern Wisconsin, and I assume across the state, we have this big warm-up coming. It's almost, it might almost be get out and work in the garden weather come Sunday, at least for southeastern Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like you said, northern Wisconsin, we're not going to get that warm. We've got a lot of snow on the ground. It keeps us cooler. But south, oh my goodness. Yeah, you're going to be hitting 50s by the end of this weekend into the mid 50s and low 60s early next week. But there's a price to pay. There always is. It's not going to stay that way. Right. Come on,
Andrew. Let's just cut her off now. We lost her contact with Brittany Merlot. She's gone.
Don't you want to know?
No, I don't, because it's always snow or a wintry mix.
Now, see, Mother Nature always slaps back. It's like, enjoy this, ha, ha, ha. We're back to reality. So after this lovely stretch of weather we're going to have next week, then what's going to happen?
So there's a chance of a little bit of a wintry mix, obviously midweek. It's not that significant, but the one I'm talking about, let me tell you, over St. Patrick's Day weekend. So it looks to bring in a lot of rain again, kind of a repeat, 2 inches of rainfall, flips to the mix, back to snow, and that goes into Monday on St. Patrick's Day. So just a heads up, that weekend is going to be sloppy and messy.
Is that also going to be with the most of the snow concentrated in the northern parts of the state, or is that going to be more widespread across Wisconsin?
I'm hoping just north, but of course that track changes as we get closer. So, but it's a big one and it's going to hit us.
So what you're saying, Brittany, is that St. Patrick's Day is going to be sloppy and messy and it's going to be bad weather.
I see what you did
green
there.
Green beer.
Yeah, there
I see
it is.
What you did there.
green beer.
Thanks, spring. Green beer.
How long is it going to take for that snow to melt up north? And I know they don't want it to. I mean, good heavens, what a great time to snowmobile if it's going to be like 28 degrees and sunny. That sounds like perfect weather.
It sure is. I mean, I want to go cross country skiing out there. I'm not going to be freezing, yep, you know, while doing it. So I think we're going to have this weekend to be able to play in it. I think by early next week, our temperatures are going to start to hit those 40s, maybe some 50s. So it'll start to melt some of that. But far up north, it'll still be there. Central Wisconsin, it's going to start to dissipate.
I heard you mention butternut this morning, which always just makes me happy to know that there's a butternut Wisconsin. I think it's adorable.
Right? Did you know there's a good now? I thought that was hysterical writing that yesterday. Good now, Wisconsin.
Good
like,
now, Wisconsin.
Good now, the snow stopped.
How you doing? We're good now. We are. I don't know why I sound like a southern person, but it just sounded right in my head. But Brittany, right? You mentioned cross-country skiing. I know it's not totally cross-country, but the Berkey just happened. Have you ever participated in the Birkebeiner?
You know, I once signed up for it, and then when I saw what that track is like, I said, okay, there's no way I'm going to finish it. And they tried their best to tell me, just attempt it. And I was like, you're going to be picking me up with the medical ATV only halfway through. But I've gone many, many years, cheered them on with the cowbell, covered it and stuff. But
gotcha.
Maybe 1 year. I need more time with more snow to actually, you know,
work up to it. Yeah, work up to it. There's a lot of hills on that course, from what I understand.
Well, and that's what I was surprised when I heard about hills. I thought it was just the 50 km. Flat land.
Nice flat track. No.
Now, I've done the Fat Tire Berkey. It's on the same track, but you're in a fat tire bike. Yeah. That one I attempted. It was pretty hard. I only did the half marathon, and the snow was mushy, and my legs were mushy.
I bet. But again, trying to conquer some of those hills with cross-country skis.
No.
That's a lot of work, man.
I'd probably get just tired watching.
For your body.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. I'm sure it's great. Oh, great exercise.
Yeah. Just absolutely. Like swimming. Works your whole body. Low impact with cross country. But this is, I mean, I think I've told the story before, but I used to work with a guy who at least when I worked with him, had done the past 20.
Birkebeiners.
Wow.
And he'd be like, yep, I'm doing the Birkebeiner this year. And he'd come back and he'd come back on Monday. And he'd look wrecked. And he'd say the same thing every year. As my last year.
I'm never doing it again.
Nope.
He might have had too many shot skis or something in Hayward.
There it is.
I am shocked that there might be drinking surrounding events at the Birkebeiner.
What?
That's so not like Wisconsin at all.
That's the goal. Get to the finish line.
So I can have a beer. Brittany Merlot joins us every Thursday at this time for a little weather and wine. Well, we will be blessing you this weekend and into early next week with this nice warm weather. I've got daffodils coming up in my yard already. So, and then we'll yell at you next Thursday when the weather turns. Thanks a lot, Brittany. Really appreciate it. News is coming up next when we return. Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company will be here to talk all things sports. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Everybody's got advice.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports from the Acme Packing Company. Paul Noonan is here. Good morning, Paul. How's it going?
Hey, good morning, all. It's going great.
So we'll start with the Brewers have signed Jose Quintana. What can you tell us about Jose?
Jose Quintana is, first of all, a very Brewer signing. He is on a very, very affordable deal that will cost them almost nothing. $4 million total likely. There's a big option, mutual option for next year, never exercised. Jose Quintana has been around a long time. He's 36 years old. He's pitched for every team in the division except the Reds. And he's actually been quite the Brewer killer when he's been with basically everybody else. He is getting towards the end of his career. This will be his age, I think, 37 season. But he's still pretty effective. He is, when healthy, and he's mostly healthy, he's good for about 160, 170 innings a year. His ERA hovers right in the mid-threes to low fours. And he used to be a big fastball guy. He's not anymore. He throws in the low 90s, but he's been working in a very, very nice changeup over the last few years, which is a pitch the Brewers love. If you see a Brewer who doesn't throw 100 miles an hour, he probably has one of the best changeups in baseball. And they needed somebody to solidify the rotation. It was looking very, very light since Brendan Woodruff won't be back until at May at the earliest. They really only had four reliable starters coming into the season, and this will at least shore up the rotation and give them a good baseline if Woodruff can't or suffers a setback. If Nestor Cortez, who's new to the team, has an elbow flare-up, which he's been prone to lately, they should be in good shape for starting pitching now because of this. So it's a positive. It's something they really did need.
I mean, I'm hearing everything you're saying, and I really like that, as long as stays healthy is the main point. But if I was speaking to a friend last night about this, and he goes, Jose Quintana, the most Brewers thing the Brewers can do, because it was cheap, it was easy, and we're getting him, as you said, towards the twilight of his career.
Exactly correct. This is the Brewers era. Like, everybody else is all signed. They're scrap heaping, as they always do. They also re-signed Mark Canna last week, who has been on the team before, and at least is good at hitting left-handed pitching, which is not nothing. So there's that. But this is actually a pretty good one. His His upside is pretty solid if Quintana can stay healthy. And like I said, he's pretty good at staying healthy, all things considered. He's probably going to be one of the three best pitchers in their rotation. Getting an ad like that this late for not much money, it is a pretty savvy signing. I actually like this one pretty well.
Okay. Are the Brewers having money problems or something? Because, but I'm serious. And, you know, my level of sports is knowledge is not that great, but all I hear about, they're just so tight fisted.
They are. So I do think their general cheapness is a little overstated because they have gone out and gotten halfway decent people occasionally in the recent past, like guys like Yasmani Grandal and Mike Moustakas, who are good players who they actually ponied up decent money for. The problem they have right now, and they are a cheapish team for sure, but they're one of the teams that does not have a solid cable deal at the moment. They basically have a one-year deal with whatever the gambling company is now to put on their games this year. And all of the teams that have set cable deals for multiple seasons in the future are the ones who spent, or are the Dodgers or the Yankees. And everybody in this sort of limbo with their regional sports distribution kind of falling apart are the teams that have not spent a dime. And the Brewers are currently in that area. So it's baseball's the same. We're owned by basically a billionaire. I think technically Mark Atanasio is a little shy of a billion.
He is.
They could spend whatever they want. But the way that they run their businesses is like businesses. And if they're not going to break even-ish, at least, they're not going to spend. That's not fair. It's maybe not what I would do if I owned a baseball team. But it is how they all operate in lockstep. So, yes, they have money problems in the way baseball teams have money problems.
It just seems to me it's such a Wisconsin thing. It's like, look at my player. I got him on sale.
Well, it is. It's very old school Moneyball that way, and that is their front office definitely prides itself on surplus value that they create in these ways. It is a thing they do. And reading between the lines on a lot of recent interviews with the Brewers, one thing the Brewers do have is the league's best pitching lab. They are the best team in baseball at taking pitchers who struggle elsewhere and turning them into true weapons. The best recent example is probably Tobias Myers, who was, I think, their best starting pitcher last year, a guy off the scrap heap that the White Sox had early in the year, just cut for no reason, who throws what is literally the best changeup in baseball, even better than Devin Williams Airbender, and just took him into the lab and basically said, oversimplifying, just throw that pitch a lot more. Take back the ones that you're not as good at. And it instantly made him like a top third starter in the league.
Wow.
They're just really good at that. And they're kind of content to ride their pitching lab to success at the expense of kind of everything else.
It just sort of sounds like they're happy with being a major league, minor league team. Like, they're happy with helping people out, saying, you go out in the world and do your best. The thing that sticks with me, though, Paul, and I don't remember if we discussed it with you or we discussed it with JR, but that interview that Mark Atanasio gave a couple weeks ago, where it's just the most Pollyanna junk. Like, well, I want to make deals, but the front office says I can't. Well, no, dude, you're the owner, and the office wants to make these deals. Like, you're not as dumb as you're making yourself. And also the whole thing of like, we don't know how baseball financials work. Yes, you do. You're the guy in charge of the checkbook. And third, when he says, I'm not in charge of winning World Series, yes, you are. The buck stops with you, bruh. Because if I'm a player on the Brewers and I read that, I'm like, why am I here if my owner doesn't have a vested interest in getting a ring?
Yep.
Yeah. That was me. And that quote was very, very garbled and a little noisy. I don't think he meant it's not my job to not win World Series. I'm not going to put words in his mouth because who knows what he meant by that. He needs, if anything, Mark Atanasio needs better people to tell him what to say. the context of that was around the Christian Yelich extension that they did. And it was about whether it was for to make the fans feel good about signing somebody or to win. And it, depending on how you want to read that, could be a criticism of the Yelich signing, which at the time I think was good, even though his back gave out on him. But Mark needs to just not talk, honestly. Most owners are so good at just blathering on and not saying anything interesting. I'll give Mark this. He says interesting things, but they usually get people mad at him. And the timing of that, with the state just having given them another $500 million.
Yeah.
To do upgrades that they were frankly obligated to do themselves,
yep.
I think technically speaking, is just the most tone deaf thing ever. Like the owners should view themselves as having don't do damage. You're not going to be super popular unless you go out and sign a bunch of guys. If you're not doing that, you can only hurt yourself by talking. So just do platitudes. Have your team win. I mean, they won the division last year. Just fall back on that. Say, yeah. Hey, we win a lot. That's all you have to do. You don't need to be doing all the rest of this. Say, our stuff is working is good enough. But nah, he is not a polished speaker.
What do you think about the new season? We win divisions. We love Milwaukee. Just keep saying that.
There you go.
Just
Mark.
Say that
that's
over
fine.
And over
There's
again.
There's your script and you're done.
Yep.
Boom. Paul Noonan is our guest from the Acme Packing Company. We are talking all things sports. So Bobby Portis got suspended from their Bucks, and the Bucks are now 7-1.
They are on an absolute tear. And so Bobby Portis is interesting in that he is, if deployed properly, useful, but he can also get himself in trouble on the court. And I don't think a lot of this is noise. I don't think they're winning necessarily because he's gone. But they've had a good run of health here with having Giannis and Damian Lillard in pretty good shape. Kuzma did suffer a sprained ankle, but he's been playing. And it's, I think, if nothing else, been a good opportunity to sort of generate chemistry with the new mix after the trade deadline. And Bobby Portis is, if nothing else, chaotic. He's a high variance player. So, like, I mean, he was extremely important to our last title that we won. They don't win that title without Bobby Portis, but he can be as bad as he is good. And they have had quite a lot of bad Bobby this year, and having him out of the lineup takes some variance away, if nothing else. There's some less talented players on the Bucks that get more run when he's not there. But it also kind of forces them to go with their with Giannis, with Lillard, and with Kuzma more, and not appease Bobby getting him the ball every once in a while. I think it's been good for him. So hopefully, while Bobby is suspended, he takes some notes here, and when he comes back, you know, plays a little bit more into the role that he was in when they did win a title. But they've looked really good, and it's they've had not the hardest schedule, but when they've played bad teams, they've beaten them badly. Like they lit up Dallas in their last game. They played them 2 of the last 3. But they look like they're back to being a contender. They've climbed back into the 4 seed, which is you want to be the 4 or the 3 or better as the playoffs roll around. And if they can just health is everything.
Yeah.
This is an old team and health is everything. But if they can run, make the keep the 4 seed and develop with Portis gone and get some other people some run, they can be contenders again. Giannis is playing better than anybody in the league right now. They look great.
I would love to see them kind of do a surprise we didn't expect, you know, have them get back in the playoffs and take the whole thing. That would just be a beautiful thing.
It really would. It really, Lillard and Giannis is what it comes down to. And if Giannis is playing at this level, he is currently playing at the same or better as his MVP seasons and his championship season. And it's just a matter of being able to keep this up for another couple of months. So we'll see. Sometimes that happens. Every once in a while, a team of veterans will run into a run of good health and get it done. And hopefully this is one of those.
We'll be sending healthy thoughts.
Healthy thoughts.
Healthy
yes.
thoughts to
healthy thoughts
granola
to the
vibes, yogurts, things like that. Sit-ups.
The NFL Combine happens and free agency begins soon. What does that all mean?
The Packers will definitely be shopping because they have a couple of positions of need and they have money, which they haven't had in a while. They're starting to get Rodgers' space clear. The people to keep an eye on free agency wise, Devontae is a free man, and I don't know that they would necessarily want to have him back.
Yeah.
But he does fit a need for them in that he's a great beater of man defenses, which they really struggled with last year and would play outside. But the real thing to keep an eye on is the Seattle Seahawks are going to trade DK Metcalf. They're very good, very tall, very big, very fast wide receiver. He's asked for a trade. They've been engaged in talks, and the Packers have reportedly been engaged in those talks for something like a second round pick and probably one of Romeo Doubs or Dontavian Wicks if they can get it done going back. He would be a perfect fit. He would basically replace what Christian Watson does. He's better than Christian Watson. He is still relatively young. If they can get that done, that would be phenomenal. Combine-wise, they need to fill that position. the guy to keep an eye on where he's going to end up going is Jaden Higgins, who's a receiver for Iowa State. This draft doesn't have a lot of big receivers in it. He's the best big one. The Packers will have their eye on him. It's what they need more than anything else except edge rushers. One of the better edge rushers, Max Crosby, just resigned with the Raiders. That's too bad. There's still a few guys out there, but keep an eye on the DK Metcalf side. That would be a big splash and a fun signing if they can get that done.
Calvin, do you want to jump in here?
Well, I was just going to comment. I don't think the DK Metcalf trade as awesome as it would be. It just doesn't feel like something the Packers would do, but who knows? Maybe they'll surprise me. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, we can bring Devontae back. I think he could get him back relatively cheap, and yeah. I think his leadership is exactly what our young receiving core needs.
I agree with that too. He'd be fun. He's a good influence. Dontavian Wicks, who is going to be entering his third year, is a lot like Devontae Adams. Their careers have really matched up well so far. He'd be a great mentor for him specifically.
Paul Noonan joins us every other Thursday from the Acme Packing Company. Thank you so very much, Paul. We will see you in a couple. Go Pack. Go Crew. Go Bucks. Coming up, we're going to wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the This Too Shall Pass Eventually edition. Don't go away. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, it's Friday. Dan Schaefer will be here from the Recombobulation area. Also, Civic Media's political editor at 11 o'clock. Pete Schwaba, host of Nightlight.
Here we go.
Is going to be joining us at 11:30 tomorrow. He finally saw Green and Gold.
Yep.
Going to have the discussion.
Yep.
About this major plot flaw. I know I'm obsessing about this, but I'm really curious to see.
Just a little
tiny bit.
Smidge.
Yeah, smidgen. I'm really curious to see if Pete saw the flaw. If Pete saw the flaw in Green and Gold, the movie, which I loved, and I think you would love it too. Yeah. Go see it. It's a really sweet, heartwarming film, and you'll feel good after you see it. Except for that one major plot.
Oh, all right. Oh,
so,
wow.
Again, Pete Schwaba will be here tomorrow at 11:33. Right now, though, 11:53, Calvin, that means it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me. Jane says at civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Jane says at civicmedia.us. This is from WFLA.com in Florida. Surprise. From Rachel Tucker with the byline, headline reads, Florida man swallows almost $800,000 in stolen jewelry from Tiffany and Company in Orlando. Jathan Lawrence Gilder, 32, pretended he was representing a player for the Orlando Magic, went into this jewelry store and said, hey, I'm repping for this guy.
Yeah.
I want to see, some high-end
Show
stuff.
Show me the goods.
Show me the goods.
Yeah.
So he actually forced his way out of the store with a pair of earrings worth $769,500, a pair of almost 5-carat diamond earrings worth $160,000, and a pair of 8-carat diamond earrings. Do you know how big that is?
That's huge.
An 8-carat diamond is large.
Yeah.
Worth $600,500. And accused of stealing a ring worth almost $500,000. So again, he goes into this jewelry store, says, I'm repping for a player from the Magic. Let me see all this stuff. And then he takes it and he runs. They did stop his car, where he was arrested on a charge of resisting. Also, a minor 48 outstanding warrants out of Colorado.
Wow.
A body scan conducted at the jail appeared to solve the mystery of at least the missing earrings. They were not found on him. They were found in his stomach.
That is absolutely crazy, because anyone who knows anything about earrings, that could really hurt you.
Oh, big time.
And how
8
big?
8-carat diamonds.
Oh.
Yeah. Ow. The foreign objects are suspected to be the Tiffany & Company earrings taken in the robbery, but they will need to be collected. Such a nice way to call it. After they pass through the suspect's system prior to confirming that these are the stolen jewels, Gilder unfortunately did just ask jail staff out of nowhere, am I going to be charged for what's in my stomach? Yeah, you probably shouldn't have said that.
Florida man.
Arresting trooper reported hearing Gilder say, I should have just thrown him out the window.
Okay, I have so many. If Todd Alba is listening right now, can we cut into your first whole segment? Because I have
just
a lot of questions.
Many questions.
First of all, you thought to yourself, I should have thrown out the. Yes, absolutely. Or under the chair, or under your seat in your car. Lots of things you could have done. Glove compartment. I could go on.
You had options.
If they're air, just the diamonds alone, you could swallow an 8-carat diamond, I think, depending on its,
if it wasn't mounted.
If it's not mounted.
If it's just a loose gem, it's not going to be great.
Yes, but it's an earring. So therefore, it's mounted, and it has Sharpie points.
Yes.
And if it's a diamond, my guess is there's tiny little diamonds, too. I mean, the idea of passing it, the idea of the other way, either way, just put him in the hospital and take him out, because that could end up killing him.
It's not going to be fun.
No.
Not going to be a pleasant experience. He has been charged with first-degree grand theft and robbery with a mask. A search of his criminal history also reveals in 2022, he robbed another Tiffany & Company store in Texas, but apparently that's one he got away with. That wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Yeah, don't do that. News is coming up next, followed by Todd Alba. From noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6, and the Great Pete Schwabba 6 to 8 p.m. Pat Kreitlow kicks it all off early mornings from 6 to 8 on Up North News Radio, and then Earl Ingram right before us from 8 until 10. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you, most of all, for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the absolute world. I am so very grateful. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on this Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.